Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello there, it's Doug Foresta. Welcome to another episode of Creating Change. Today I'm going to talk about how to stop waiting and create the change that you want in your life. And I had given a presentation, I'd given a speech. I graduated from Springfield College in Massachusetts, here where I live, and I came back. They asked me to come back and give a convocation speech. I think it's convocation, whatever the beginning of the school year is, and to give a speech. And what I talked about was the song "Waiting on the World to Change," and it's a pop song that came out around 2007. And it says, you know, we keep on waiting for the world to change. And what I said was that we can't wait to, you know, we can't wait for the world to change. We cannot, you know, that's not something that we can afford to do, because the world has so many challenges. So what I want to talk about is this idea that the difference between waiting and taking action. And it's been on my mind lately because, you know, I've thought about this. There's so much to do in the day. And I don't know about you, but, you know, every day is so busy and there's so much to do. And then it feels like, you know, are we getting the things done that we really most need to get done? You know, are we making it happen? Are we making the things happen that we need to make happen? And so you think about it, think about this. You know, I used to work for the state of Massachusetts for 10 years. And in that job, working as a state worker, there was a lot of this waiting. There was a lot of the sense of waiting for permission, waiting for, you know, if there was an idea that something wanted to be implemented, you know, they would say, well, let's wait and see what central office says. Let's wait and see. And what happens is, I think, is that you get used to waiting. You get used to someone else is going to make a decision for me. Something's going to happen. And I guess one of the questions that I have for you is, do you find yourself in any way thinking, you know what, like someone else is going to do something and that's going to change my life? You know, someone else is going to tell me something, someone else, even, you know, even listening to this, right? Like Doug's going to tell me something and that's going to create the change that I want in my life. Now, of course, I do hope that you get value out of this podcast and out of my programs, but I also know that waiting, right, that it's not as if something that I'm going to do is going to make that difference in your life. It's something that you're going to do that makes the difference in your life. And not that we don't need help and not that we don't need support. But at the end of the day, truly, it is us. And, you know, I mean, I'll give you another example. I produce podcasts for organizations all across the United States. And, you know, one of the things I need to do, even in my work at doing podcasting, is to reach out to people and offer my services and say, hey, you know, is this something that you would like? Is this something that you'd be interested in? Is this something you'd potentially like to do? And if I don't do that, right, if I don't reach out, if I don't reach out to people, then it's not going to happen. And so this idea of waiting versus creating, you know, and I think that's really the heart of it. There's a funny story that I'll share with you. It's not a true story, but a story nonetheless that illustrates this. And it's the story of Irving. And Irving, from the time that he's 18 years old, he decides that he wants to play the lottery and that his dream in life is to win the lottery. So by the time he's 18, when he turns 18, he goes, I have a secret weapon. I'm going to pray to win the lottery. And so he starts praying and he prays and a year goes by, he doesn't win the lottery. 2 years goes by, 3 years goes by, a decade goes by, decades go by. And finally, Irving is an old man and he has not won the lottery at all. He's never won the lottery. And he's so angry and bitter because he's been praying for years and it hasn't worked. And he looks up at the heavens and he says, you know, God, I'm an old man now. I don't have much longer to live. Just show me a sign that you care. Show me that, you know, I've never won a scratch ticket. Let me just win $2 on a scratch ticket. Give me something, God. And this booming voice comes out of the heaven and says, Irving, do me a favor, buy a ticket. And that's really it. You know, that's really at the end of it. It's we have to buy a ticket. And I'm saying this to myself as much as I'm saying it to you. When I do these episodes, you know, I share with you what's on my mind and what's current for me, in the hope that, as Ralph Waldo Emerson says, to believe that's what's true for ourselves in our own hearts is true for others, you know, that's really important. So, you know, that idea that in what ways are we waiting? The other thing about waiting is the idea that there's going to be some time in the future that's a better time to do the things that we need to do. And now I'm not saying that, you know, timing is everything and sometimes it's not the right time to do something. There may be, you know, you may want to, for example, start a new job, but maybe right now isn't the right time to do that and you do have to put that off. But at the same time, you've got to think about, there's a Rabbi Hillel had a saying, you know, if not now, when? And I do think that that is one of the things to ask yourself, you know, if not now, when? And maybe there is an answer to that. Maybe you have a better answer to that when. But at the same time, to really think about, is this really not the right time to do the thing that I want to do? Or am I putting it off because I'm afraid? Am I putting it off because I think there's going to be some better time in the future? When I was a young man, when I was a younger man, I remember thinking that there was going to be this time in the future. You know, I would dream about, right now is not that great, but there's going to be a time in the future and it's going to be better and I'm going to be less stressed out. And things are going to be easier. And I'll tell you, that day has yet to come. I am very happy with my life. I'm extremely grateful for my life, but I'm certainly busy. And I think sometimes we project into the future of this future that's going to be way better than what it is in the present. And the reality is that this is it, right? This is your life right now. And how do you start creating? How do you start taking action right now where you are? And action isn't always about, I'm not saying you have to run around like a chicken with your head cut off, right? That's not necessarily helpful action. Action could be slowing down and meditating. Action could be, I mean, lots of things can be action. It's not necessarily, taking action can be going inward. It doesn't always have to be an external action. But the idea is that we're doing something towards our goals, you know, towards our vision. And that's the, at the end of the day, you know, that's, I think, the important thing about creating change. When I think about my clients over the years who have made the most progress, I think it's the ones who've taken responsibility for their own change process. It's not that they don't use support. It's not that they don't ask for help. In fact, asking for help is a very effective thing to do. But at the same time, the idea is, where does the locus of control for change lie? And if you think that that locus of control lies outside of yourself, then you're waiting. And I would ask you, what are you waiting for? I wanted to share with you as well, I mean, now that we're talking about change, I wanted to talk to you about how to get ready to change, because part of what we know, there's Prochaska and DiClemente were two psychologists. They're still around, and they came up with something called the stages of change. Now, many of you or some of you may be familiar with the stages of change, but I'll just go over them and share with you a little bit of how this connects to what I'm talking about. So what Prochaska and DiClemente found was that even though we want to change, we're not always ready to change, right? We're not always ready to change. And what they came up with was these stages of change, these universal stages that human beings go through before they make a change. And the first one is called pre-contemplation. And pre-contemplation is what we used to call in the addiction field, denial. It is the place where it's like, well, nothing needs to change. I'm fine. Everything's great. And, you know, it's like when I was working at the hotel in New York City, for those of you that have listened to the podcast, you know, I was a doorman in New York City and, you know, I was already in my late 20s and really not doing what I needed to do with my life. And at first I was like, you know, in pre-contemplation, everything's fine, you know, no big deal. I can do, you know, this is great. I'm making good money. And, you know, if somebody's using drugs or they're eating unhealthy or whatever it is that, whatever the thing is that they need to change, right? Pre-contemplation is, no, this is fine. This is okay. I don't need to, you know, it's all good. So that ignorance is bliss. It's one of the hardest places to get out of, because you don't want to acknowledge, right? We don't want to acknowledge that there is a problem. The second one is called contemplation, the second stage of change. And contemplation is, you know what? Maybe there is something wrong, but I don't know if there is, but maybe there is, right? And I've done a lot of work in addictions, so I've worked with a lot of people in addictions. We could talk about relationships for an example. You know, first you're like, this relationship is great. And then all of a sudden you go, you know, there are some things here that bother me about this relationship. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe there's something wrong. And the maybe there's something wrong is contemplation, right? And that's the beginning. That's the beginning of the change process, in a way, is once you start to have that little doubt in your head, well, wait a minute, maybe this isn't what I expected it to be. Maybe there is something wrong. And in therapy process, you know, when I work with therapy clients, that's a big part of what I want to do. If someone's in contemplation, or someone's in pre-contemplation rather, what I want to do is get them to start thinking about maybe there is something. Maybe there is something wrong. In contemplation, right, the thing is, you're not ready to take action. You're just wondering, maybe there's something wrong. And if you try to push someone, or even push yourself, to make a change at that point, you're going to create resistance. Because truly, in contemplation, a person is not ready to make real changes. So, you know, contemplation, you know what, I think I might be too heavy. I need to, you know, or I'm not healthy enough. I really might need to go to the gym, right? That doesn't mean that day you're going to get in your car, go get a gym membership and start working out. It just doesn't work that way. That's why the whole process is called the stages of change. The next stage after contemplation is preparation. And preparation is getting ready to change. It's not actually changing, but it's the person who says, well, let me drive around town, or let me go on Yelp and look at, you know, the most popular gyms in the neighborhood and see, you know, what would be a gym that I would join if I was going to join a gym. What would be a good one for me? What's close? What can I afford? In preparation, you're getting ready to change. You're getting ready to change. But the thing that I would also encourage you to think about is, in all of this process, you are actually moving through the change process. You're not waiting, right? You may not be ready to work out yet, but you are creating change, because by going out and looking for the gyms, you're getting ready and you're moving yourself along the stages of change. You know, for me, it took me, I think, you know, if you think about this, think about any major change that you've ever gone through in your life. How long was the difference between when you first thought about, wow, I need to change, I really need to make this change, to the point of you actually made a change? I'm willing to bet that it was quite a while. I'm willing to bet that it took quite a bit before you actually made that change. And I'd be curious to know, I'd be curious to know about that, and ask yourself that question. You know, how long did it actually take me? And sometimes we get frustrated with other people because, you know, for us, it's hard for us. But then for other people, we say, you know, why can't you just do it? You know, why can't you just make this change? So that's preparation. And then you're into, once you get through preparation, then you're ready to take action, right? And action is the stage that we think about as the actual change. I stop smoking. I go to AA. I go to the gym. I let go of that relationship that wasn't serving me. All of those things are the things that we, you know, all that stuff that's action. But you see how you have to go through this process to get to action, right? Like, first you have to recognize, wait, maybe there is something wrong. And then you have to get to a place of, well, I'm going to get ready to change, right? And then finally, we get to a place where we're actually making the change itself. And then the next stage is maintenance, which means you're maintaining the action, right? How do you keep going? How do I keep going? How do I keep going to the gym? How do I make sure that I stay sober, whatever the change is? You know, that's the next step. And then one of the things they talk about is relapse is part of the process. You know, sometimes we fall backwards, but then we get back up. And that's a whole other podcast I want to do about how we really can't truly, even if we relapse, we're not ever in the same place that we were, because now you have the benefit of having changed. So I wanted to share that with you just to give you an idea of how that change process works and how it goes through. And when I work with clients, we take them through all those steps. And certainly, like I said, in my own life, that's certainly been my experience of how change actually happens and how, you know, how to actually navigate change. So a couple other things that Prochaska and DiClemente talk about. Another one is that there's ambivalence about change at every step of the process. And this is the part about waiting, that there's two parts of us. We both want change and we don't want change at the same time, right? There's a part of us that really wants to change and there's a part of us that really doesn't want to change. And then we really feel stuck. And when I was working at the hotel, there was a part of me that really wanted to get out of the hotel and really wanted to have a bigger impact in the world. And then at the same time, there was a part of me that wanted to stay there because it was safe. And at every step of the process, in anything I've ever done, any major change I've ever made in my life, I could feel that tug of both things. And that what we really want as human beings is what we'd really love is to have our cake and eat it too. You know, wouldn't it be nice to be able, actually we had this weekend, we had a cheesecake in the fridge and there was like a whole thing of like all these different slices of cheesecake. And I know that those slices of cheesecake have a lot of calories. And, you know, I had one of them, I had one slice, but you know, there was a part of me that's like, I'd love to have five slices. And then the other part of me said, but you're going to put on too much weight and you're not going to feel good about yourself. If you eat that, you're going to be sick. And that's that, you know, that's that ambivalence. And so I had one piece, I gave away the rest of it. But, you know, it's that tug and pull that we feel that is what keeps us stuck because we don't make a decision, right? And making any decision is better in those situations than making no decision, because staying stuck really keeps us stuck. That's the piece, you know, staying stuck, obviously, when you don't make a decision, nothing shifts and nothing moves. And in one level, you could say, well, that keeps me safe because I'm not going to make the wrong decision, right? But actually making no decision oftentimes can be the wrong decision. So we can't get off the hook that easily. But the thing we want as human beings is, wouldn't it be great to be able to have whatever it is we want to have and then that we know isn't good for us and yet be able to not have the consequences of that action? If I could eat all those cheesecakes and yet still not, you know, and still feel good about myself and not put on weight, that would be wonderful. But the problem is that I can't. And that's again where the problem comes in. So let's bring this back to your life, thinking about your life. In what areas of your life do you want to improve? Are there areas of your life that you're unhappy with, whether it's in relationship or finances or health, whatever it is, right? Are there things about your life that you've been thinking about in some level and saying, boy, this really needs to change. I really need to change this about myself. And at the same time, are you waiting? You know, is there a part of you that's waiting and saying, you know what? Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it someday, right? I'll do it someday. I'll do it when the time is right. You know, I'll know when the time is right. And of course, the question is, when will the time be right? You know, when will the right time be? And there is no, the problem is the right time, in my opinion, is now. You know, the time is now. I may have shared this one before, but I'll share this with you. One of my favorite parts of Leo Buscaglia, who wrote Love. He talked about this, the time is now. He was giving a speech. Leo Buscaglia was a famous speaker, and he was a professor, I think, at Stanford University. And he taught a course called Love after one of his students committed suicide. And he said, you know, I was teaching everything, but the one thing that would have kept her alive, which was to know that she was loved and be able to know how to love. And so he taught this course called Love, which eventually became keynote speeches all over the world. And in one of his presentations, Leo Buscaglia said that this man came over to him after he finished speaking. And he said, Leo, I have a question for you. He said, my wife always wanted this dress. And I always told her we couldn't afford it. We couldn't have it. And she said, can I have this dress? And I said, no, we can't have this dress. It's too expensive. And, you know, I told her, she kept saying, you know, I want this dress. I want this dress. And I said, no. And the thing is, my wife passed away suddenly last week. And here's my question for you. Should I bury her in the dress? And Leo Buscaglia says, you know, even though I wrote a book called Love, I wanted to strangle him, you know? And he said, now is the time to buy the dress. Now is the time. The time is now to tell someone you love them. The time is now to live. The time is now to make an impact in the world, right? It's not because we don't know how long we have on this planet. We don't know how much time we have. And you know, you said the time is now. And I believe that. At the same time, if you force yourself to do something you're not ready to do, then you'll create more resistance. So instead of thinking of the time is now, meaning that you have to go, you know, if you're thinking about being healthier, that it means you have to go to the gym today. And then, of course, you're like, there's no way I'm going to the gym. I'm sorry, Doug. That to think of it this way, you know, even if you sat down and wrote down, you know, five reasons why you should go to the gym and five reasons why you shouldn't go to the gym, which is moving yourself along the stages of change, that is creating change. Those little things. It doesn't have to be massive changes in one day. The little things add up. The little things add up to big things. And as you do that, as you work on creating change in your life and take responsibility, it does add up over time to bigger changes. The hard part is that we don't always notice it, or we think, well, that's not enough and I have to do something more. But that mentality actually keeps us from creating change. So the waiting, the waiting is part of that whole, you know, the waiting and waiting for the right time keeps us from taking actions, even small actions that really would make a difference and would help us move forward. And like I said, I think that we get to a place sometimes where we think that we're taking action in some ways because we're busy, right? We're very busy and we're pushing and all of that. But then at the end of the day, what I would encourage you to do is to look back, think about, this is why it's really important to have a vision of where you're going in your life, right? Have that vision of where you're going and think about so what is that vision for my life? What's most important to me? And what did I do today, big or small, to move towards that vision? And if the answer is nothing, right? If the answer is I can't think of anything that I did to move towards that vision, then the chances are that you're waiting for your life. And there's in the song by John Mayer, Waiting for the World to Change, he says, you know, me and my friends were all misunderstood. They say we don't believe in nothing and we don't stand for anything. I'm paraphrasing here. I can't remember the exact words, but you know, he says, we understand that we can't do anything. So we keep on waiting for the world to change. And I really think that that's the wrong attitude to have. It doesn't mean that we will make all the changes in our life. It doesn't mean that we'll be successful every time that we try to change. But I think that to wait, to not take the action, big or small, is a mistake and is a waste of the precious time that we have on this planet. There's a Jewish concept, I'll leave you with this as we wrap up. There's a Jewish concept called Tikkun Olam, which means repairing the world. And what it says is that when the world was first formed, the world was sort of this inert matter and God blew breath into it and the world couldn't contain that. So it burst open and it shattered into, you know, billions and billions and trillions of pieces all over the world. And that our job as human beings, right, in our individual lives, is to put those pieces back together and create or perfect the world or fix the world. Tikkun actually means fix, not really perfect, but to fix the world. And I do believe that we all play a role in doing that. You know, it's our own lives, yes, but if all of us create change, if all of us create the change that we want in our lives, then together, collectively, we're changing the world for the better as well. And the saying is that the Jewish saying is that the work is not yours to complete, but nor are you free to abandon it. And I love that way of thinking, that you don't have to create all the change that you ever need to change in your lifetime. That's not for us. You know, we don't live long enough in one lifetime to create all the change that ever needs to be done. But given that, why would you wait? So that's my call for you for today, is to stop waiting, start creating. And what can you do? What actions, you know, one, two, or three actions can you take in your life today to make your life a better place, to make the world a better place? and to uplift and heal the world. I really appreciate you listening to the podcast. If there's topics you'd like to see me address or guests that you'd like to hear from, go ahead and email me at dougforesta@gmail.com. That's dougforesta@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And as always, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. Till next time, this is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.